She's the personal finance reporter for USA Today, and you can find many of her columns in there. Sandra, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, it's back to school time, and as you recently wrote, free student checking may come at a price. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, even though a lot of banks have been raising fees and making it harder to get free checking, they're still promoting these student checking accounts. And the reason is because they kind of feel that if they can get you to, people don't tend to leave their banks easily. So they figure if you open an account when you're a college student and take advantage of these so-called free checking, you'll stay. They'll build loyalty, and once you start making money, it'll pay off. The problem is that a lot of these accounts that are advertised as being student checking or free student checking do have exceptions. You have to follow certain rules. You have to use your debit card a certain number of times a month. In one case, I looked at Bank of America. You have to promise that you'll never ever talk to a person if you or get paper statements. Otherwise, it can cost you $8.95 a month for your account, which is a lot of money for a college student. So I'm not saying that these are bad, but I think students really do have to look carefully at the requirements to maintain free checking.
Doesn't make sense to me. Talk to a person. They're going to have that person in the bank anyway.
Well, I guess they, you know, that's a transaction that is more expensive than just doing it all online and taking your money out through an ATM. And for a student, that may not be a big deal. I mean, young people today are pretty tech-oriented and may not mind that they don't ever want, may not ever want to physically deposit a check, but it is something you need to be aware of, that if you stop in the branch, that could cost you money.
Sandra, do we have any idea how students and people in general, if they stay with their bank, is there a percentage?
I don't know the percentage, but I know it's really high. People just don't leave their bank. And having done it myself at least once, I understand why, because it can be a real pain if you have direct deposit. Checks and all that, unwinding all of that and then opening a new account and making sure that you don't bounce any checks in between is complicated, and particularly if you don't have a lot of money, so you can create kind of a cushion while you change banks. So I understand why people don't do it, but even with the difficulties, there has been, I think Javelin Research has tracked that there has been an increase in people switching banks in the last few years just because they have gotten so annoyed with fees and surprises and things like that.
You know what I found, Sandra, is we have a bank and a credit union that we use in my home, is that it's kind of like your phone service. I've had charges changed or taken away. You can go in there and use the negotiation tool, hey, I'll go somewhere else, and a lot of times you can find satisfaction.
Yeah, that's really true, especially with surprise fees. That has happened to me before, too, where my account has, you know, they've said my account has fallen below a certain limit, and they've charged me, and I've called up and complained. And because they want to keep your business, they will waive those fees. And I always encourage people to do that, not just with banks, but with credit cards and everything else. It never hurts to call. And one interesting phenomenon I've noted as a result of social media, nobody wants you tweeting that you hate your bank. So I found in my own experience, particularly with airlines and financial institutions, that a quick note to customer service, I think it's better response than it has in the past. And I think they're just very sensitive about how easy it is to make your displeasure known.
All right. When college students are looking for free checking, you mentioned look for the requirements, but also look at the availability for ATMs. And especially, they'll probably need overdraft protection.
Well, actually, they shouldn't sign up for overdraft protection,
okay,
in my opinion. Overdraft protection is something that the banks want you to sign up for, because that they'll tell you that if you don't have it, you might have your purchases declined at the register, or you might not be able to take money out of your account. But I think that's a good thing, because what overdraft protection does is it allows you to overcharge. It allows you to take out money that you don't have and then charges you a big fee for it, up to $30 per transaction. So say you use your debit card and you buy a cup of coffee and you go $2 over your account, that is going to cost you $30. And then any other transaction you do that day is going to trigger another $30 fee. So why not decline overdraft protection and find out at the register that you're on the edge so you can go fix it? I just don't think the embarrassment of having a transaction declined is worth the cost. And I think particularly with the availability of online accounts that you can check anytime on your phone, you can have text alerts sent when your account gets below a certain level. You really don't need this, and it's just much better to keep track of your account and avoid getting that situation in the first place.
And you got to be a hawk about that. My wife in our house does that. I hate that, Sandra, but someone has to do it. And if you're a student, you got to make sure you keep an eyeball on that.
Yeah, and that's why students really need to look carefully at the accounts, because I think what's common for a student is to get very low, you know, let your balance fall pretty far. So you want to make sure you don't have an account that says it's free unless you hit a certain level, unless you fall below $500 or $200. Because if you're a student, you probably are. So what you really want is an account that has no fees and no minimum maintenance balance.
All right, before we let you go, Sandra, what's a better deal for a college student? Is there one between a bank and a credit union?
A couple folks have suggested to me that some people who are very comfortable not dealing with branches, basically dealing in virtual transactions, that ING Direct and Ally Bank have very low-cost online accounts that might work for some students. They need to look into how convenient it is for them not to ever have any branch to walk into, because these are virtual banks. But I don't rule out those. I would take a serious look at your college credit union, because some of those have very good deals and can link to your college account, so you can have refunds and tuition payments and things directly deposited. So I'd give them a real hard look and then look at the banks.
Sandra Block is a personal finance reporter for USA Today. You can find her online at usatoday.com. You can also follow her on Twitter at twitter.com/SandyBlock. Thanks so much, Sandra.
Thank you.